Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Plenty of NFL news going on, and one in particular about the draft and all kinds of stuff going on here. So let's bring in our expert when it comes to this stuff, and you know her better as Mary Kay Cabot from the Plain Dealer in Cleveland.com, and she is right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Hi, Mary Kay. How are you?
I'm fine, guys. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Mary Kay.
We're hanging in. All right, Mary Kay, let's start with this. The draft is everything seems to be a go. Your thoughts on the news over the last 24 hours that, everyone will be at home during the draft. And logistically, is that a nightmare or is that just another hurdle these guys have to step over to make this thing happen?
Just another hurdle that everyone has to cross over. I just really don't think that at this point the NFL would be able to have the optics of having a bunch of people in war rooms together. I really never thought that was going to happen. So I think teams and individuals anticipated this was how it was going to go for the last couple of weeks or so.
Hey, Mary Kay, sorry, we all have telephones. You know, there are cameras on every phone. There are cameras on laptops. They'll make it work, and they'll get players dispersed, and then they'll see what's next. I don't see any big issue with it at all. In fact, I think it'll be kind of a different look and kind of fun to watch when it actually happens.
Yeah, and I've said this before. I think that the Browns are probably very well positioned to handle a virtual draft. I think in some ways they are probably at a little bit of an advantage because they are so tech savvy. They are so smart when it comes to these kinds of things. They embrace technology. They're ahead of the curve in that regard. So I think when it comes to their IT department and all the incredibly smart people that they have in that Browns front office, I just don't think that this is going to rattle them.
Mary Kay, I'm just curious, have you ever been in a war room to cover a draft?
No, I've never spent the time in the war room. I've seen the war room, been, you know, stepped inside of a war room, but never actually during the draft.
Yeah, I was just curious because, I mean, I know I've never done that before. I don't think, Jeff, you've ever done that, have you?
No. Nope.
Have you ever had the chance
nope.
to cover a draft like that? I just wonder how logistically, like, I would think the first round is pretty self-explanatory except for maybe when a trade wants to come through, and I would think the later rounds might get a little bit more difficult on what teams want to do. Although I do wonder if general managers may like it better just being the only one in the room and having to take input through text or phone or whatever device they're going to use. In some ways, I think this might be a general manager's dream to have a draft like this where they just get to make the call
out.
And there's no pressure in the room, right?
No, I don't think it's going to be like that. I think that they will be so interconnected, and I don't know whether they'll use Teams or Zoom or whatever the case may be, but they'll make it seem like they're in the room together as much as they possibly can. They will collaborate on decisions, on trades. They'll put their heads together. I will say this, however. This is a challenging, challenging first draft as a GM for Andrew Berry. And, I mean, think about this. He is so young. He's 32 years old, for starters. And here he is with his first NFL draft, having to conduct it under adverse conditions. And drafts get crazy. No matter what you think might happen in those nine picks above you, everything can go haywire, and you don't really know what's going to happen. We've heard stories over the years of, you know, phones being thrown across the room, and at least nobody will get hit in the head with a phone in this particular draft. But, you know, we've heard stories of things getting slammed down, people arguing. It just doesn't always go the way that you think it will go. So Andrew Berry, he's very even keel, level-headed. So is Kevin Stefanski. I think, and so is Paul DePodesta. I think these guys are going to be really super prepared. But I do find it very interesting that this is how Andrew Berry has to conduct his first draft.
Yeah, I do too. It's a shame, but you know, in the big picture, it's irrelevant compared to what's going on, certainly around the country, and they'll make do, and it'll get done, and they'll disperse players. Mary Kay, are you hearing anything other than left tackle at 10 at this point?
Well, once again, information is a little bit harder to come by right now when you're not milling around owners' meetings and things like that and trying to pick up little clues and talking to different people. But I would think that it is still pretty much down to all the tackles, and then the one other player that I do keep coming back to is Isaiah Simmons because of his versatility, the linebacker, you know, the hybrid linebacker from Clemson. Who knows if he'll still be available at number 10. But you're seeing some, you know, some other things happening up there above the Browns, so you just never know. So I would say that, you know, keep an eye on him too.
Mary Kay, any movement on, I'll keep asking this left and right, but Jadeveon Clowney or maybe even Trent Williams?
Nothing new on those guys. I think it's a situation of, anything can happen at any moment, or nothing can happen. I think that they have closely monitored both situations for any changes, any differences, and I'm sure they keep in touch with whoever they need to in the event that they want to make those moves happen. I don't get the sense that Jadeveon Clowney or either of those things are about to happen in the next 3 hours or anything like that, but I think they're keeping an eye on both of them. And they have been monitoring Clowney since the start, and $20 million was way too rich for their blood. Now that the price is starting to come down, you know, that changes the game a little bit. So I would say it's something to, you know, to keep an eye out for. Don't know if anything's imminent.
I think that Clowney thing would be really interesting, Mary Kay. And I wonder if there's anything that comes of this. Could you possibly see them keeping both Vernon and signing Clowney? I personally, if you have the money, I know there might be an issue of snaps, but why wouldn't you if you could?
Well, I don't really see them doing that, but stranger things have happened when you're dealing with pass rushers. They're hard to come by. They're hard to find. And Adrian Claiborne did not cost very much money at all. 2 years, $5.75 million. That is a bargain basement price for him. So therefore, if you had to add a Clowney, you could afford it. They still have $43 million. And, you know, that gives you an opportunity to kind of monitor things and gauge how you want to approach these players moving forward in terms of signing them to long-term deals or whatever. But you also have the option of parting ways with Olivier Vernon in the event that you sign a Jadeveon Clowney. And that seems more likely to me than committing $15.5 and $17 million to those two guys.
Mary Kay, when are we going to see these new uniforms?
I would say before the draft. So, you know, I would be on the alert for those anytime over the next couple of weeks. I mean, they try to have them done, you know, before the draft so you can kind of hold up the jerseys, and I don't know exactly how they would pull that off logistically, but I know that what they like to do, and I think they'll try to stick with that.
Do you care what the uniforms look like, Mary Kay? I didn't dislike the ones that they were wearing last year. I'm not crazy about the color of brown they used. So what? And I know everybody has said get ready for, you know, kind of a go back to the old days look. At this point, I don't think anybody would care if the team just went out and did what we all hope it does. And I know uniforms are a real personal thing with a lot of folks, but in this situation, I don't think it makes that big of a deal. Do you?
You know what? I've never been a big, huge uniform person. I don't get as excited about uniform changes as some people do. Some people, you know, just wait with bated breath for these uniforms to come out. I'm not one of those people, but I will say this. I do think that the Browns, in addition to upholding the traditions and the conservative nature of things, I think they also have to grab a hold of the younger generation. And you're seeing so many, like, cool uniforms and neon colors and things like that. I do think that you want to bring on board, just this whole younger set, the millennials on down, and you want to get them excited and have them like the uniforms as well. So that's the only thing that I would say is, you know, I don't think they necessarily need to cater to the, you know, to the older fan as much as they do now to the younger ones that haven't really seen winning their whole lives.
Mary Kay, there was a story that came out yesterday. Jeff, I'm trying to remember who had it. Was it Pro Football Talk that was talking about there was the speech that where they said, look,
was,
if there's a chance
Mike,
there's
– Mike Florio.
It was Florio? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Florio just said in speaking to some folks that if there's no high school and there's no college football this fall, the NFL would contemplate one game on Thursday, one game on Friday, three games on Saturday, three games on Sunday – and then one on Monday night. And Jeff and I were just talking about whether that would be an oversaturation of pro football for folks across the country. I don't think so. Jeff, I don't know. Do you think it is, or are you just, you're concerned about it?
I'm concerned about it, Mary Kay. I just don't know if that flies, because one of the things to me that makes the NFL special is, you know, hey, it's Sunday, it's game day. And if you can see it, what, 5 days a week? It would be every day other than Tuesday, Wednesday. The thought that Florio floated out there. I just don't know that it, you know, they'd make a ton of revenue, and I would think it would be short-lived, you know, for a year or so, a year. But I just think maybe too much of a good thing isn't a good thing.
You know what, I understand what you're saying, Jeff, but right now with people so hungry for sports and so – you know, willing to watch anything that they can get their hands on. I actually think if there were no high school or college football, that would be a brilliant decision to give people what they want and what they need, the diversion. I mean, think, you know, I was just thinking the other day of, you know, even all the people in the nursing homes that gather around the television to watch the Indians every single night, and it gets them through the summer, and it's something to look forward to. I do think that having NFL as much as they can get it during a season when there wouldn't be much else, I would be all for it.
Man, I would have a tough time, Mary Kay, as much as I love watching the NFL. I don't know if I could sit there and do it for 5 days. I would find it challenging. And, you know, you wouldn't have to watch them all, but it'd be available there. And, man, certainly they would – you know, advertisers would be just clawing to buy that product. So they'd be making money like absolute crazy, you know, because there'd be basically 9 nationally televised games. You know, one Thursday, one Friday night, 3 on Saturday, 3 on Sunday, and 1 on Monday. I get it, and I understand what you're saying. I find it kind of a curious thought. And, you know, God willing, we don't get to that. You know, I mean, if that's what happens, that means we don't have high school football and we don't have college football.
Well, you know, everyone is obviously thinking outside of the box right now, and
sure,
everything changes every other day. And, you know, to hear, you know, President Trump come out and really try to push for leagues to get back into the stadiums and fans to get back into the stands, you know, I think that everyone's just trying to come up with ways to try to make these things happen. And that's good, because you know, they will be ready when it does happen, and there will be progress. And the more that we push the envelope, the faster we will come up with treatments and remedies to get the world back on its feet again.
All right, Mary Kay, last question for you. The All-Decade roster was released yesterday. No surprise to Browns fans. Joe Thomas was on there. Any surprises for you, and what are your thoughts on Joe being on that All-Decade team and just the entire team itself?
Well, I didn't find there to be any surprises. And again, it goes deep enough that, you know, you could pretty much get everybody on there. I thought it was the way that, you know, the way that it should have been. And no surprise that Joe is on there. I'm looking forward to someday being able to vote for him and maybe even help present for him in the Hall of Fame selection meeting.
Nice.
So good for Joe, good for Alex Mack, and it's so exciting for the Browns.
Mary, what do you think fans don't know about Joe's career here? I mean, it's not – you know, playing offensive line isn't the sexiest position. Like, you can look at Tom Brady and go, well, look at the – I mean, especially for Joe, because he doesn't have the playoff experience that you would use for there. What do you think fans don't know that made him such a great player?
Well, fans mostly know everything about Joe by now, but I think one of the biggest contributions Joe made was to all the players around him, to setting the tone on that football team. It was his team. So he was the leader of the team, and then just the way he took – other players, not just offensive linemen, but all other players under his wing and kind of led in that way. He was a tremendous, tremendous leader. And he was so, so positive. And you can even see now during the coronavirus when he puts out his tweets about, the family and the four kids crying and things like that. I mean, he just has such a great positive attitude about life. And he's so grounded and he's so smart in so many ways. And I think it was just such a pleasure to be able to cover him.
Mary Kay, thank you. As always, we appreciate your time, and we will talk to you this time next week. So thank you. And, of course, we'll read you at plaindealercleveland.com every day to find out what's going on. Thanks, Mary Kay.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Mary
Kay. All right, we'll talk to you soon. Mary Kay Cabot on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. When we return, we will enter into the House of Cain.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.